A couple of weeks ago, the church, we celebrated the Feast of the Assumption, the solemnity of Our Lady's Assumption into Heaven. So the very beginning of this, for those who were here, attended Mass with me that day, you're going to hear for a second time. Hopefully it's not in vain. The Assumption. How long have Catholics believed that Our Lady was assumed body and soul into Heaven? Always, right? Always, from the beginning. From the time that the apostles witnessed Our Lady going into Heaven. Or if they did not actually witness it, from the time they found the empty coffin. The Catholic Church has always believed it. Then why was it only in 1950 that Pope Pius XII came out and declared definitively, Catholics must believe this teaching as essential to the faith? Why did it take 1900 years to definitively declare that? Because up until that moment, it had always been believed. There was no confusion, the teaching was clear. But it entered into, in this modern age, a time where people were uncertain. Gosh, do we still believe that? Was that really authentic teaching of the church? And so the Holy Father came out and made it clear. If you read the document in which he defines this, the encyclical letter, it's about 10 pages long, it's worth reading. How does he begin that document? He goes back to the beginning and he says, what did the apostles teach? What did the apostles believe? Because that's where our faith comes from. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave the gift of the faith to the apostles to be handed on for all generations. Now, how do we know what the apostles taught? There are two ways. First, what they wrote down. What we have in sacred scripture, the entire New Testament, is apostolic teaching. What is the second form that the apostles taught in? The oral tradition, that which they handed on by word of mouth. Now, how do we know what was orally handed on? We've got to go to the next generation. The people the apostles taught, they wrote things down. And these are whom we call the fathers of the church. And so at the beginning of this encyclical, he says, what did the apostles teach? And he looks at scripture, and then he looks at the teaching of the fathers. Now, what happens if one father has a particular teaching that is not found in any other of the fathers of the church? That teaching would be suspect. You say, gosh, is that really something the apostles wanted all of us to know and believe? But what happens if a certain teaching is found in multiple apostles spread all throughout the world? You say, gosh, that is something essential to our faith, which the doctrine of the Assumption is one of those teachings found in numerous apostles. What about things in the modern age where there are issues that the apostles would not have taught specifically? Cloning. Euthanasia. Stem cell research. Artificial contraception. On and on and on. What do we do with those? Because the church does come out and teach something about every single one of those moral issues. Before the church teaches, she goes back to the teaching of the apostles. And even if they did not directly or explicitly teach on those matters because they were not present at that time, the church looks at the principles in the apostolic teaching or related issues. But also we have the gift of the Holy Spirit whom our Lord gave the church to guide us to the fullness of the truth. But we always go back to the apostles. My brothers and sisters, our faith is a revealed religion. It is something that has been handed on to us. It's not something that we create. It's something that we receive. And what that means is the exact same thing that Moses said to the Jewish people, the church could say to us. Because the Jewish people have a revealed religion. God manifested himself to Moses and gave him the commandments. And so what does Moses say to the Jewish people? If you want to enter the promised land, keep the commandments, do not add and do not subtract from them. What would happen when the Jewish people added or subtracted to the commandments? Trouble, right? Oh, the entire Old Testament you read and you think, gosh, when are they going to get it? One real simple modern day. So this is not something serious, but when I was in the Holy Land a few years ago, I stayed at a hotel that was roughly 20 stories tall. And one day I'm down at the bottom level and I'm getting on the elevator. And there were four or five elevators. It was a large hotel. And one of them had this really interesting frame around the elevator. I had no idea why, but it was colorful. So that door opens first, so I get on. And I get on with a few other people. And I step in and there are no buttons to punch in the elevator. And the door's closed and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to my floor? And then I remembered something that actually a priest who went to the Holy Land often had taught me, but I'd forgotten. There are elevators in the Holy Land that have no buttons, so that on the Sabbath, the Jewish people don't have to do the work of pressing the button. And so as it goes up, it stops on every floor. I'm thinking, oh my, you know, thank goodness I'm not on the 24th. I'm going to spend 20 minutes in this elevator. Right, but and this is what our Lord's getting at today, right? All these human traditions, gosh, those are just burdens. Let go of those. Just stick to the teaching. What happens when we as Catholics add or subtract from church teaching? The same thing, trouble. Right, and I could give a million examples and you would be familiar with all of them, just a few. Recently, a couple came to me. They're not parishioners here. And they said, we want to get married in the church. And I said, okay. And I could tell they had wedding rings. They were already married. I said, were you civilly married? And they said, no, Father, we were married in the American Catholic Church. And I said, the what? I never heard of that before. The American Catholic Church. I said, where's that? They said, oh, you know, some Catholics, they disagreed with a certain teaching of the Holy Father. They broke away and founded their own church. That's what happens. It's just this division that divides the church all down through the ages. When we don't just stick to the basics. There are Christian denominations who are vegetarians because they believe it's a sin to eat meat. And you just think, gosh, you know, our Lord ate lamb, the Passover lamb, right? I don't know where you get that. Or other Christian denominations who don't drink any alcohol. Now, if someone wants to make a private vow, that's wonderful. Right, but just to say, gosh, you know, it's a sin to drink alcohol. Our Lord would have drank wine. One time, I was at a talk given by an African-American gentleman, he's probably 60 years old, who had been a Presbyterian pastor. I think it was Presbyterian. And they were not allowed to drink alcohol in his church. And he was sharing the story of his conversion to Catholicism. And at the very end, and one day hopefully I'll be able to share why he converted, but at the very end, he's closing. And he tells us he's getting on a plane the next day to fly to Florida for a vacation. And so at the close, he says, God bless you all. A week from now, I'll keep in my prayers. I'll be sitting on a chair on the beach in Florida drinking lemonade. And he goes, whoa, lemonade? I'm Catholic. I'll be drinking margaritas. You know, but just this freedom, right? We don't have to add things. And in the same way, we shouldn't subtract. Just the other day, a Catholic says to me, oh, Father, you know, I don't do that whole confession thing. You know, if I have a sin, I just confess directly to God. And I said, I do too, right? If I fall in some way, I confess right then to God. But Jesus taught us to do more than that. Right? We can't just get rid of confession. He said, whoever sins you forgive are forgiven them. The examples are endless. I want to close with this. Every once in a while, in the confessional, somebody will come in and they'll say, Father, you know, one priest told me this. Another priest told me that. Father, what is your opinion on the matter? And I say, you know what? My opinion does not matter. I said, let's look at what does the church teach? We as priests also have to be faithful to not add or subtract anything. If we want to enter the promised land, let's keep the teachings of the church.